Welcome back, everyone, to the Risk Intel Podcast, powered by SRA Watchtower, where we share risk intelligence with experts from across the banking industry. I'm your host, Ed Vinson, CEO at SRA Watchtower. Welcome to today's episode. Joining me on the Risk Intel Podcast today is Beth Nillis. Presently, Beth leads risk and control self-assessments implementations at RCSA and has served as a subject matter expert in the development of SRA's new RCSA module. Prior to joining SRA, Beth worked at a range of financial institutions from de novo to top five banks in various operational areas and risk-related roles. And she brings a deep knowledge of the RCSA space to today's conversation. Beth, welcome back. It's great to have you back on the podcast.
Thanks, Ben. Glad to be here.
In a prior conversation, we talked about putting RCSAs into practice and the distinction between first and second line activities. Today, we're going to look at this a little bit more broadly about and talk about the impact of risk and control self-assessments on bank operations. So let's jump into that. And my first question for you is, how would utilizing an RCSA to inform day-to-day operational decisions, how could that impact a financial institution?
So when you think about an RCSA, it's the bottom level of an entire risk program, right? So you want to use the information that you glean from your risk and control self-assessments to inform your overall enterprise risk management. And the way you do that is you focus in on your unmitigated or not well mitigated high risk areas. So if you've got something, a risk in an area, either a process or specific risks themselves, where the inherent risk is really high and your residual risk is also really high still, you need to focus on that and maybe improve processes around it or determine if you're willing to accept the risk that you're seeing in that area. And often you do things like BSA and some technology areas, you're always going to have high risk. It's a matter of how much risk are you willing to accept. And the RCSA allows you to see exactly those areas that have that and that you need to be making decisions on as an institution. Do you need to put money in this area? Do you need to add a process? Do you need extra expertise in something? And that's the best way to use it for your day-to-day operations.
All right. So step one is understanding that those risks exist and being aware that those risks exist. But in isolation, right, that's not addressing the right. Mm-hmm. That's not improving the financial institution. You need to then go the next step and do something about it. So you need to make a decision as to whether or not those risks are acceptable. So how does that then bubble up to the folks that need to make that decision?
So as we talked about it in our previous conversation, you've got your various lines, right? You've got your first line of defense. They're the doers. Then you've got your second line of defense. They should be looking in it that those the results of your risk and control self-assessments and studying it and managing it and elevating it to the management area team of the bank to make strategic decisions. And to do that, you need to get good reporting and you need to focus in on, you know, when you look at it as a whole, it can be very overwhelming. Banks can have thousands of processes, right? And thousands of controls. So you need to be able to drill down and see those areas of risk. And if you have really good reporting, you can show that and allow your risk team to make good decisions.
All right. So getting that visibility, so strong reporting, being able to drill down from that second line in order to really go deep into a certain risk area. You talked earlier about rolling this up at the enterprise level, at the top of the house level. So, right, I think you described there that the RCSA is that bottom level of an entire risk program. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about then how that would be absorbed or digested or integrated into that ERM view?
Sure. So I'm going to take you back in history, Ed. When I was doing this for a fairly small bank, we didn't have any software or anything. Everything was being done with Excel, Word, and PowerPoint.
Yep.
And every quarter, I would get a request from our risk person that said, hey, can you give me your top five risks? So I would make a judgment based on my observation of my area, and I would give that to them in a nice little PowerPoint, and then it would go to our risk committee. Not the best way to do it.
That sounds a little bit subjective, a little bit qualitative,
yes.
A little bit hit or miss. And,
yes.
Yeah.
But ultimately, what you really need is a consistent format and a consistent language across your organization, and where you meet and you discuss the areas that you find risk in. And you need to do it on specific levels. You're looking for financial risk. You're looking for operational risk. You're looking for reputational risk. And when you have that program in place, then you have a mechanism to inform your risk department, whether it be via software or a organized platform that they've set up, a program, and that's how they analyze that. And you should do it on more than a quarterly basis, but often that's what happens.
Right. We've talked previously about the importance of monitoring risk on a continuous real-time basis, through your RCSAs. But now if you're talking about aggregating it up, right, the best practice is at least to be looking at that aggregation at the enterprise level on a quarterly basis.
Yes, definitely.
In terms of the type of data or the data elements that you would integrate up there or aggregate up there, can you give us an example or two of something that you would want to pull into that ERM level view?
Sure. It really depends on the area that you're coming from. There are some areas of the bank that have very quantitative figures. And you can look at them. They're, you know, interest rate risk. That is a pretty black and white mathy kind of thing. When you get into the operational area, there are ways to see, but it's more subjective and it's less quantitative. And through that, your risk and control self-assessment really comes into play. Then you can say, do you have policies and procedures? Do you have, I can't even think of one right now. Are you analyzing your credit risk? So you look at the basis of what are you doing to mitigate your risks? And a lot of it is subjective, but you should measure it in a less subjective way, right? You should have a definition around your risk ratings and then adhere to that. And you should do that globally in your organization. So if you have a 5-tier rating system, each tier should have a very specific rating. And you do it on your impact and you do it on your likelihood of something happening.
Beth, thank you. I think you've given us some great concepts there to consider around the impact of risk and control self-assessments on bank operations, the role of the RCSAs as that bottom level of the entire risk program, the importance of using that to identify the high risk areas that are not mitigated, where the inherent risk and the residual risk are still high, but then comparing that to the risk appetite of the organization, how much is it willing to accept, and ultimately rolling that up to that enterprise level, so you have a consistent way of looking at risk from group to group, and making sure that,
you add, most of the time you're at your enterprise risk level, you're looking at various categories of risk, generally defined by your regulatory body. Credit, yep. Liquidity, interest rate, reputation, operational. So that is usually the lens through which the risk area is going to look at stuff and how to your enterprise risk model.
Right. And so you'll aggregate the bottom up
yes.
content, if you will, into those groups at the enterprise level. But it strikes me that you need that really robust risk and control self-assessment layer in place, because otherwise your aggregation is, I'm going to say, somewhat hollow.
It very much so. Good way of saying that, Ed.
Thank you, Beth. I appreciate the thoughts and the insights here. And we look forward to having you back one more time in this series to talk about how SRA is tackling this with its new risk and control self-assessment module. Thanks so much,
Sounds
Beth.
Good.
For more information on SRA, please visit srarisk.com. Watch or listen to our weekly Risk Intel podcast series, or follow us on LinkedIn to learn more.